How's everyone this morning? Good, yeah, you're okay. I don't see any teeth. Let's see those teeth. See some smiles. Pearly whites, sunny yellows, whatever you got, just do it. Good to see you guys. Turn to someone next to you and say, I'm glad you're here. Happy Sabbath. Welcome them here. Go ahead and do that. That sounds nice, right? Everybody's talking, smiling. See, now I see more smiles. Now I see a lot more smiles, okay? So hopefully you made a nice connection this morning. And let's pray before I continue, and I'll introduce myself if you don't know who I am, and on and on. Lord, I just ask that you give me your Holy Spirit now. That it's your words and not mine. Amen. Okay, so my name is Chris Perez, Chris Bettis, and I am the new principal here at Valley View Adventist Academy. And you know what? I've felt a very warm welcome from you guys. Thank you so much. I speak for my family as well. And some of you know me for a while. Good to see you, Carly. Carly's like, hey, good to see you. Some of you just met. But some of you I met, and I felt like I've known you for a while. That's how friendly you are. So that's been really, really good. And it's been a hectic time lately. I've talked to Peter last week, right, Peter? And happy belated birthday, those of you that weren't here. He turned 40, right? Yeah, we'll say that. Oscar, why am I calling you Peter? You're like, wait, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I'm so good. Oh, your wife told me to call you. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't tell that. Okay. Oscar. Yeah, I know. But I was trying to give you 10 years, yeah. So Oscar's been really nice. And I totally messed up his name. I'm so sorry. I'll call you Peter from now on. You can call me Johnny or whatever you want. So anyway, I feel very welcomed here, but it's been a crazy transition. So what I'm going to share with you today is my testimony. At least part of so much that went on to my life, and you know as well your own lives. You have so much that you could say on behalf of the Lord, correct? Amen? Okay, good. So I am from Brownsville, Texas. Some of you might know where that is, but originally I'm from Texas. And Brownsville has a lot of names, B-Town, all these other things you call. I call it Little Mexico because it's like right across the border. And yes, it's basically Mexican families. Anybody else that comes along, they're an oddity. I felt so ignorant, you know, and I saw people from different cultures and you just assume these things from them. But you know, I only knew from what I saw on TV. And so yes, it was definitely Mexican culture, Mexican food, everything. Didn't know anything else. So growing up, and I'm a mama's boy. Raise your hand if you're a mama's boy. Anybody mama's boy in here? Yes, right. You always love your mama. Very good, yeah. Some of the little boys that you have around here won't raise their hands yet, but they are. And so I love my mama. And my mom, as you know, if you're Hispanic. ¿Quién habla español aquí? Los hispanos. Hey, la llama de los cielos, ¿verdad? Okay, amen. All right, sorry. So I'm just saying hello to my fellow Spanish speakers. But Hispanic moms, at least mine, was very, very protective and on me a lot, and I deserved it. And I'll tell you some reasons why. So, and I'm always kind of cautious, especially I have young kids here. Most of them don't listen anyway at this age, but, you know, the adults, hopefully you're listening here. And this message is for you, by the way, okay? Because I prayed about this so many times, when Josh asked me, hey, can you come and preach? I said, yeah, of course. I just said yes. And that took a long time coming, but I said yes. And, I had several things that I want to talk to you about, but then, you know, God always gives me one message. No, he whittles it down. So usually I come in here, I scribble my notes, and that's it, and I'm ready to go because the Lord speaks through me, right? And I need to allow him to do so. And so as a young kid, this is why I remember second grade, it was a very crazy year, probably about 7 years old, right, maybe eight. And we were growing up as Catholics, and my dad decided to get converted into Seventh-day Adventism. Okay, because he had somebody at work that kept talking to him, hey, come to our church, come to our church. And finally we went. And so we were the only Adventists in the whole families, both sides. Okay, so we were the black sheep for sure. And I could see when I look back now, like, wow, they really didn't want to hang out with us. Okay, because we were different. You don't need pork anymore, right? That's the first thing you start talking about. You don't need pork anymore. This is ridiculousness. You go to church on Saturday. What is that? You know? Where's your statues? Where's your Virgin Mary? Why aren't you going to Mass? And you know, all these things. Holy water. I mean, I can go on and on. And, you know, so we were kind of outed. Okay, we would still get invited, but it was different. And I was definitely the bad cousin, you know, all the little cousins and the moms didn't want to invite me over. Like, Chris wants to come over. Not today, mijo. Sorry. No, not today, mijo. And be like, rats, you know. But then I know why, because I'm a little brat, you know, I was a little punk. But that's why they didn't want me around. But anyway, second grade, all this started happening. And the first thing that affected me was cartoons. I used to love cartoons on Saturday mornings. And my parents, you know, they're just learning about Abbott. Oh, hi, Jamie. I didn't expect to see you here. Good to see you. And so cartoons were a big deal to me. And so I would wake up in the morning and turn it on. And my parents, you know, they're learning about Sabbath. They don't really know everything, but they're learning, you know. And they're like, Sabbath is holy, son. You know, you can't. Somebody was talking in Sabbath school about what you do on Sabbath, right? And so anyway, that's what I used to do. Ninja Turtles, Transformers, all my favorites, okay? They're all coming back around. And so I made a big deal about going to church. I did not want to go to church. Don't wake me up. I don't want to go. I want to watch cartoons. And my mom said, you need to go. And finally, when Sabbath came, I was like, oh, I'm sick. I don't feel good. Now, say what you want. My mom was like, fine, you're going to stay home. I was like 8. You're going to stay home, and we're going to go to church. And my older sister, of course, is like, he's just going to watch cartoons. Mom, he's just going to watch cartoons. Don't let him stay. And she's like, it's okay. Be quiet. We're going to go. And I was like, yes. So they left me alone. And what did I do? Watch cartoons. I turned on the TV. And, you know, I'm watching those cartoons. And then I would constantly run over to the window, look at my mom's coming. Okay, come back. Go to the window. And finally, I saw the car come up after, like, several cartoons. And I ran to the TV. Remember the big, fat televisions that you should kind of, you know, pull the little knob out? Nowadays, these old kids with their one-inch screens and all that. They had a giant TV. And when you turn it on, it would warm up. It would get warm in the back. I feel older. My goodness. Older, right? So anyway, so my sister, the first thing she did, she goes to the back of the TV and is like, Mom, it's hot. He was watching TV. And I was like, shush your face, you know. So my mom after that was like, okay, this is the last time you get to stay home. You're going to church. I'm like, all right, fine. So I struggled. And there was a lot of things. You know, my neighborhood, I guess, was considered like projects. We're low income, you know. My parents worked really, really hard all the time. My dad was working all day long, and then he would come back at night. And my mom, I think, at that time, she was only working maybe 2 jobs here and there. But anyway, they worked hard, right? And so we were latchkey kids. Most of the time, we just walk home. You guys remember that term, latchkey kids? We would walk home, and I was less than a mile from home, from the school. Probably about a quarter mile, maybe half a mile. And we'd walk home, or my grandparents would pick me up. But I always started hanging out with the older kids. You know, that's always, you know, you got to be cautious with those things. And the older kids would say, come on, Chris, come over here. I was like 7 or 8 years old. And I was their entertainment. Hey, why don't you go do this? Okay. Go over there. They start laughing. Hey, I feel like the group. I was really the clown, okay? But, you know, I thought it was accepted. And we started doing a lot of bad things. We actually schemed once. You remember 7-Elevens? Do they still have 7-Elevens around here? I don't even know. I haven't seen them a whole lot. But we had a 7-Eleven in the corner of our area there, in the corner of the street. And we had a plan. I was a diversion. And my older friends were going to rob whatever they could. And then they would run out. And, you know, so they said, Chris, this is the plan. You're going to buy matches. And you're going to talk to the guy, and they must have had experience, because they're like, he's going to ask you what you want them for, and you're going to say you need them for a gas stove at your house, and here's 10 cents. So it's a box of matches. So that's I remember this. So I was like, okay, well, I could do that. So I went over there at 7, 8 years old, talked to the guy who was working there. I want some matches. And it went exactly like they told me. It was amazing. So they're around, looking around at magazines. They're all, you know, they're doing this kind of thing, looking, and they're like, okay, doing this, and then, you know, whatever. So they were targeting a big carton of cigarettes. And those days, I guess, there, they didn't have them behind the shelf or anything. You could just grab them. And so they took like 2 or 3 of them. And so one of my buddies over there was, you know, looking all suspicious, and finally, hey, what are you doing? Well, something dropped out of his shirt. and he ran, okay? And then three other guys, boom, 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 ran right after him, and I just kind of stayed there like, hi, I'm not with them, but I'll see you later, and then I just ran out. And yeah, we had a plan of whatever our spoils were, we're going to divvy them out. So second grade, first cigarette. It's crazy, right? And so I'm there trying to be cool. These guys, I didn't know what I was doing. Okay. Kids don't smoke. Adults don't smoke. Vaping, all that stuff. If you have to inhale something into your lungs, I'm going to tell you, don't do it. Okay. There's my plug for that. Okay. So, but that's what I started doing, those things. And my mom, my mom's amazing. Your moms, you moms, I love you already. I respect you so much. You're amazing for what you do. Your job is so, so, so important. Always pray for your babies. I don't care how old they are. Pray for them. It makes everything better. And the Lord does listen. So my mom has always been praying for me. And so when I'm doing these things, my mom knows. She doesn't know exactly, but she knows something's wrong. My son is not doing what he's supposed to be doing. And she's seeing the guys I run around with, and she's like, who are those guys? Oh, they're just my friends. Well, I don't like you hanging out with them. Mom, don't tell me what to do. It's my friends. You heard that conversation before? Nope. Okay, you're having that. You guys were perfect kids? Oh, good. Well, good. I'm glad. I'm like, you're ready for heaven, ready for translation. All right, so at this age, my mom started really praying for me. And she would tell me, Chris, I'm praying for you. And I'd be like, what? Okay, sure. But there was something inside of me that was instilled, almost like God was leading me. Like I just knew that there was a God. Okay, I wasn't close to Jesus Christ. I just kind of heard about him, but something would always say, God is real. And sometimes I would pray. And my, simple prayers, like, oh, why am I poor? Give me some money. why don't we have these shoes? Back then, Reeboks were the thing. Came out. Air Jordans were starting to be popular. I never got those. We didn't have enough money for that. And I'd be like, why? I'd get hand-me-downs from my older sister. They were like unisex shirts. Oh, cool. I could wear that now. She's like, you can have that. And I'd go around, my kid in my school, like, I have new clothes. So these things, that's my simple prayers. And I even used to pray for a girlfriend. Lord, give me a very pretty girl. And eventually, I just start, Lord, I just wanted the perfect wife. Give me a perfect wife in one day and give me a son and a daughter and I'll be happy with that. Start praying these little prayers. So anyway, seventh grade comes along and the schools are getting bigger. And my mom was like, all right, you're going to go to church school this year. And I was like, what is church school? Okay, our church was small. How many of you guys have been to a small, small church? Smaller than this. Okay. So we grew up in a pretty small church, probably about this, or maybe smaller than this, actually. And they had a church school, and there was going to be one teacher, which was, you probably heard this, some of you might have worked there, some of you might have been through this, but I had one teacher who was everything. Principal, teacher, janitor, nurse, mom on the side, okay? She was amazing. When I look back, I'm like, wow, I really appreciate what she did. She was amazing. So when I was there, I did not appreciate it because I had 13 kids total in the school, and my two younger sisters were right next to me. That was really annoying, right? I don't want to see them every day. And then at school now, I see them every day. Okay, that was really annoying. And so I begged my mom, I don't want to go back next year. Public school is better. I have tons more friends there. Basically I can get away with what I wanted. So many things, right? There's a lot more girls. Yes, that was driving me by then, okay, seventh grade, eighth grade. And you'll see more of that, sad to say, but it's just the truth. And so my mom finally said, fine, I'm going to put you back in the public school. I was like, yes. My friends would make fun of me, of course, like, where'd you go, Chris? Oh, you're a rich kid now? And I'm like, no, I'm like, way not the rich kid. Oh, you think you're better than us? Like, no, I know, private school. And then they found out, well, how many people are there? Oh, okay. Oh, so your principal's a janitor and everything, but, So I definitely did not want to go back to church school. Okay? I was like, done. Don't send me back there. I was a laughingstock. And so going back to public school, I was exposed to a lot of things. Okay? Now, having said that, not totally a shameless plug, okay? But I'm just, this is my testimony, for real. Having said that, I'm not going to say that Adventist schools are perfect either. Because there is an enemy out there. Okay? That's why I'll always ask for your prayers. Always. Okay? Never, please, if you ever think about our school, please pray for our school. Pray for our teachers. Pray for our students. Pray for me. Okay? And I'll really appreciate it. Okay, so, anyway, going back. So, you know, getting exposure to a lot of things. And then went to high school. Got even bigger. Okay? Our schools were massive in Brownsville because the population was growing for whatever reason. People were moving in. You know, maybe some crossing the border. Some were just moving in for jobs. And so there was a lot more kids. And I thought that I heard somebody tell me that, you know, one of the administration, there was about 5,000 students at the school. Very, very big. I mean, you had to kind of walk, okay, see people side to side because you didn't want to bump into people. And I saw a lot of things there that I never thought I would see. You think you watch them in the movies. And we saw a lot of things, okay? And so there's a lot of exposure. I'm kind of scared to say it, but, you know, there's little kids right here. But you could probably imagine, all right? You could probably imagine. We saw violence. We saw fights. And so one of the things is I had a friend that I hadn't seen in a while. And he, you know, he has his own issues, whatever. But I saw him at my freshman year in high school. And you know, how many have ever had a gun pointed to your face? None of you? All right, there he goes. A couple of you know exactly what I'm talking about. So he saw me for the first time in a while in gym class. I didn't even know he went to that class. I think he was just roaming around. And he's like, hey, man, I want to show you something. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I haven't seen him in a while. So he says, follow me. And I go underneath, I think it's behind the bleachers of the gym, and underneath is like the locker rooms and all that. And so he opens the door, and he goes ahead of me, and I turn the corner. And as soon as I do, he turns around. He has a gun pointed at my face. And so, of course, I didn't even know what to say or think, but I just kind of went back like this, like, whoa. And for a second, I didn't know what was going to happen. He was just pointing at my face. And finally, he's like, ah, I'm just kidding, man. And I'm like, oh, my. You know, my heart is, like, racing. And so me, my first instinct was, you know what, just play it cool. Play it cool. You know, my dad always told me to be careful around certain people and just play it cool. Don't lose it and just pretend like it's no big deal, okay? Which happens a lot more than you think with kids, okay? There's a lot of different kinds of trauma out there. But this stuck with me for sure. And I speak about it for a reason. Maybe you've gone through it, or maybe you need to hear it for some reason. But so I started talking to him about the gun because he had it in his hand. Oh, is that, whose gun is that? Blah, blah, blah. He told me, and I said, is it loaded? He said, yeah, I took out the clip. All the bullets were there, put it back in. And it was a nickel-plated, it was a .22, a small gun, but, you know, I didn't want to get shot in the face. So, and I said, okay, cool, man. And I tried to get out of there as soon as I could, you know. And obviously I'm alive and well. There's no holes, even though, you know, might not look perfect here, but he didn't shoot me regardless of what you might think. And I never saw him again. But did I tell anyone? I didn't tell anyone. Okay? I didn't tell a soul. I didn't want to be a snitch. I didn't want him to find me again. I didn't know where he came from. I don't know where he went. Okay? So this is the thing. This is the pressure sometimes that you feel, right, as a young person. And so I never reported it. And my mom, again, she knew something was up. She knows her son. Do you parents know your children? You know when something's up. You know when something's different. So when I would go home, my mom just started praying again. And she told me several times, she said, I just pray for you. I don't know what's happening, but I knew something was happening. And so through these prayers, you know, I think God was starting to show himself more and more to me. And through my mom praying, it made an impact on me. And she really wanted me to go to the academy, which was about an hour away. It was actually a dorming school. It was called Valley Grande Academy. It's no longer in existence. But it was in the border of Texas as well, in this place called Weslaco. And she was like, I want to send you there. And I was like, yeah, right. I'm not going to another church school. Forget that. It's nonsense. It's garbage. I don't want to go there. Two people in every class or something like that. You know, I don't want to go to that. Okay, because I was not really involved. My church was really weak in youth, and so my experience at church was really not good. I didn't join Path. I didn't like Pathfinders. I didn't like any of that. I was like, keep me away from it. I was the kid that always ran outside, and my dad and mom had to go look for me because I was throwing rocks at things I shouldn't have been throwing at. I was trying to hurt turtles, whatever I could do to get outside of the church. That's what I would do, and I would get out of there. And so my mom and dad, you know, would come back inside. Just thought, but I kind of, you know, that kind of thing. So I didn't want to do anything with the church. I didn't want to know the school. Don't talk to me about that, please. Now, God knows me very well, inside and out. That summer of my, after my freshman year in high school, I went to, I guess, a summer camp. I don't even remember what it was, but I was in the summer camp, and I met some people, and I met this girl I thought was beautiful. And she's like, you know, she's like, well, hi, my name is so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, cool. I was like, wow. And she eventually told me, she's like, where do you go to school? I was like, oh, I'll go to public school. I was like, why don't you come to my school? And what school do you think it was? That Adventist school. She was going there. I was like, what? I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going there. So I called, when I go home, I told my mom, I was like, can I, so the Adventist school is like, you want to go? And she's like, praise Jesus. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I want to go, okay? So she's like praising God. She probably doesn't care how I get there, but she's like, we're going to make it happen. And, you know, you call the church because, you know, we didn't have a lot of money. So she calls the church and she calls a member. People say we can get him there. He has to work. And so long story short, I get to the academy and I start, you know, I see another pretty girl. I was like, whoa, this is the best decision of my life. You know, like so many pretty girls here. And I go to the dormitory. You know, and I meet these guys, hey, welcoming me and all that stuff. And so, you know, they're it's so funny. I don't know. These guys, I guess, have always been in Adventist school. So to them, they were in awe of me because I was from public school. Like, whoa, public school, you're so tough and cool. Blah. And I was like, okay, I thought it was weird. But anyway, so we're talking, and I says, oh, do you know this girl? Oh, yeah. I said, where is she? Oh, she couldn't afford to come this semester, so she's not here. So I was like, oh, all righty. So when I look back, I know this is God's plan, okay? When I look back, God knew how to get me where he wanted, right? And you know, you're smiling because you did the same thing. Maybe you're here because of that too, okay? You met somebody, you're like, oh, I love that person, and now you're here. So I don't know, but either way, that's what happened to me. And so I end up graduating, okay, from this academy, and it made such an impact on me. It has because I've never seen young people, and this is what I'm telling Oscar, not Peter, that I never had young people come up and tell me, you know, to come watch them sing for the Lord. That was a new experience for me. Because for me, doing any kind of thing for the Lord was lame, was dumb, was boring, and all these other words I can't even tell you, right? Nobody wanted to do that at my church. I got made fun of badly because I went up and prayed once. And when I came down, the bullies of the church was like, you know, make fun. I never wanted to go back and do that. Never. So I told myself I wasn't going to do that. And I learned how to play guitar. And sad to say, I never praised the Lord with my guitar until later. I missed so many years. So young people and older people, praise the Lord with your gifts. Okay, I should have done that a long time ago since the beginning, but I didn't do that. So anyway, so here I graduate. And, you know, I get out of there and, you know, I won't tell you about my grades or anything. But I got out of there and I went to Southwestern Adventist University. That's where I graduated from in Texas. I had a great, great experience. And that's when I actually started learning about the Lord. Now, who brought their swords today? Two people. All right. Who brought their swords? You know what I'm talking about? This is your sword. Okay. Get your Bibles out. Get your Bibles out, please. I got to tell you about Jesus in this way. And this is actually, I'm going to share with you, you've heard this before, I'm sure, my favorite two verses. Matthew 6, 33 and 34. And I'm going to ask somebody to please read that out loud for me. Matthew 6, 33 and 34. I'm having fun up here. I don't know about y'all, but I am. And, you know, I love talking about how good the Lord has been to me. Matthew 6, 33 and 34.
First the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself.
How many of you like to worry? You don't have to raise your hand. I like to worry. Yeah, some of you like to worry. I know I worry. You know what? I haven't slept the last three dates, nights. It's kind of weird. My wife's like, nope, he hasn't. I haven't slept very well at all. Maybe because of all this new knowledge that I'm trying to attain and things I need to get done, right? It's never any cycle. Joni, by the way, amazing assistant. I don't want to say secretary because I don't know about that, but what's the title? I can't remember, but she's amazing. So if you see Joni, tell her I said she was amazing, okay? Because she has helped me so much since I've been here. And anyway, so I haven't slept very much, and I think I go to bed with it, I'm fine, I go to bed, and then I wake up in the middle of the night, and I can't go back to sleep. Have you had that experience? Okay, well, we just read that we need to put somebody first, right? Who is that? God. Seek first Chris's kingdom. Nope, okay. Seek first my dad's kingdom. My mom's, my neighbor's, Donald Trump, Tiger Woods, okay? Who do we seek first? The kingdom of God, yes sir, thank you, okay? The kingdom of God. Are you seeking the Lord first? You see, in college, I started to realize I had to find the Lord myself. Really, I was the one that was lost. Okay, I was the one that was lost. I needed to be found. But, I was the one that had to look for myself and build a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because, you go to college, even in Adventist college, there's all kinds of things that they say and theologies and ideas and backgrounds. And you just kind of go with the flow for it first. Like, oh, yeah, we're cool, so I'll do what you do. And you're nice and you're good looking and you're smart and you're popular, so I'll just go with what you go. But really, I needed to find Jesus for myself. And so when I started searching for the truth, I had to read the Bible for myself. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, right? Don't worry about tomorrow. I love that. So don't miss, somebody that gets to know me later, you might think that I don't care about things, but I just learned not to worry. At least at that moment. Maybe in the middle of the night I'll wake up. But I just, I can only do so much. And I have to let God do the rest. Okay? And so I will be working at the school hard to try to follow the Lord's lead and help have him do his work too. Allow him to do what he can do. Sometimes we limit God's ability ourselves. Okay? It's a crying shame. Can God be limited? Ooh, is Jesus calling? Okay, that's actually coming at us. So anyway, I go to Southwestern Adventist University, and I learned that actually God calls me. Literally, there's a phone call. Okay, I'll tell you what I mean by that. I started trying to search for God, right? And one summer, I worked the first summer in my Southwestern after the first my freshman year. I was working like three jobs to pay tuition and to pay rent or dorming, right, over the summer. So I did groundskeeping, and then I did janitorial work, and then I worked for this guy privately. He was doing construction at his home, and he needed me to pour concrete and mix it. So there I am, on the Texas heat, getting all that stuff done. But I felt good. I like working, I like working hard. So 12 hours every day in summertime, okay? We had to get it done, right? We didn't have all the money. I had to pay for it. It's good. It felt good. And I was trying to pray and trying to stay with the Lord, okay? And one summer, my friends were like, hey, you should go work at summer camp. And I'm like, how much does it pay? First thing I asked, how much does it pay? Well, it didn't pay that much, but, I think Southwestern might double it. If you go there, they'll give you scholarship, kind of thing. I'm like, nah, I don't want to do that. That's lame. I don't want to go to summer camp. My experience at summer camp, I didn't like it. So that's why I based it off of like, nah, it'd be summer camp. So then he's like, okay, cool. He's like, well, you should check it out one time. He's like, I'm going to this one in Colorado. I was like, yeah, whatever, And so the next year happens, sophomore year, and towards the end, I'm walking through the library, and there's a booth of a guy recruiting for a summer camp in Arizona. And I guess I was walking through, and whoever he was interviewing, he sent her to go get me. He saw me walking by, and he's like, go get that guy. And she's like, okay. So I don't know her. She came up to me and said, hi. I'm like, hi. That guy over there wants to talk to you. I'm like, who is it? Like, oh, he's recruiting for a summer camp. And I was like, oh, I don't want to go over there. I don't even know what he's going to say. I was like, all right, fine. He's like, come on, come over here. I'm like, oh. So I go and I sit down, and he introduced himself. He's a pastor from there. And he's like, hey, man, I saw you walking by, and the Lord said to talk to you. You know, I want you to work at summer camp. Come over here and do this and that. And I'm like, you want me to go over there, be like a slave to you guys and get paid nothing, deal with kids and whining and all. I was like, forget that. I'm not doing that. And he's like, but, you know, I was thinking all this, but I was being, you know, respectful. Like, my parents taught me to be respectful. So I was like, no, that's okay. No, I'm good. No, that's okay. No, that's okay. He's like, are you sure? So what he said was, and I had something lined up, actually. I wanted to be a physical therapist or occupational therapist. And somebody said, I'll give you a job in the summer to help you do that. I said, okay, cool. So I already had that lined up, paid me more money too. So I was excited about that. And so this guy says, well, if you ever get another opportunity, I'm going to tell you just to say yes. And I was like, all right, I'll say yes to that next time. So I leave. Summer comes around. I get hired by this guy from church. You know how it goes. And somebody hooks you up from church. And I was like, oh, cool. You know, I go to my job. My job is not what I expected. I won't go into the details, but I was not happy for, a young man by yourself in the summer in Brownsville, by the way. It's not a whole lot to do besides, you know, things that you shouldn't do. And I just didn't, I was miserable. And I was thinking back to this conversation with this pastor, and I was like, oh, I should have taken that job. So I go home. Everybody's gone for some reason, and I'm just me by myself. I come out of work, and I start praying. I said, Lord, I'm sorry I told you no, but if there's another opportunity, I want it. Just give me a chance. Whatever you want me to do, now that's a dangerous thing to say. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I will do it. I don't care what it is, just get me out of here. And about a minute after that, the phone rings. So I pick it up, and some guy on the phone, his name is Jason, he's like, hi, this is Jason. Can I speak to Chris Perez? And I was like, yeah, this is Chris. Hi, I'm calling from Glacier View Ranch. I was wondering if you want to come work for us over here and be a counselor. And I was like, yes, I do. I actually do want to go work with you. And so out of the blue, praise God. God is merciful, is he not? Amen, amen. Okay, so he's merciful. So I get this phone call, and I say yes, and now the issue becomes, how do I get there? It's in Colorado, Glacier View Ranch. You ever heard of that? Glacier View Ranch, beautiful place. Beautiful place. And so he's like, well, you just have to get here. And I was like, okay, I don't know how it's going to happen. So God worked it all out. Doors flung open. I got a ride there through different people. And what was funny is my friend that I talked to him that summer before I was working those three jobs, he was not coming back, so he just gave him my name. Look at that connection. He just gave him my name and said, call this guy. He's nice. He put a good word for me, so they called me. Perfect timing. So I know it's God. So I go, and I have a great two summers, the next two summers. And this is actually where I realize I need to be working with young people. See how God works? You see how God works? But we got to put him first. You cannot put him second, third, or fourth, or fifth. You cannot wake up in the morning and be like Instagram or Twitter or whatever it is. You cannot just like, you have to go to the Lord first, his kingdom first. Okay? And you will start seeing him communicate more in your life if you don't see it now. All right, how many of you are hungry? Okay, well, I hope you're hungry for the Lord because he's coming a little bit more. Okay, so if you really need to get out of here, tiptoe on out of here. I'm not going to get offended, but I have a message for you, okay? So, Southwestern, this great experience happens. I meet a lot of cool people. It changes my life, and I want to be an educator. And so I go back in school, and I graduate from Southwestern Adventist University. I think I have it all together. I actually met a wonderful girl, and I think I'm going to marry her. And so out of college, I get hired by public school. How cool, you know, got my first job. So I'm thinking, I'm trying to remember what I was teaching. I think it's fourth grade science. And so I had several classes, all science. I had a good time. I had good memories. You know, some kind of weird, but overall it was a good experience. I was learning a lot, right, trying to pick everything up that I could. And I hadn't taken my state certification test because, honestly, I was not planning to work at a public school, okay? But they're like, well, you have to take a state certification test. So I said, sure. My principal's a really nice guy, really good principal. And he says, okay, you need to take it by then so we can make sure we hire you for the following year. Otherwise, I have to get rid of you, and I don't want to do that, you know, that conversation. So, all right, fine. So I study for this test. And I think I have it all down. Okay, I was like, I've studied as much as I can study, and I'm ready. So I take the test. It's like 3 hours long, you know, all these questions. That's nothing to some of you professionals take more tests, like architects or crazy tests and you know, medical tests and all that kind of stuff for doctors. But for me, this was tough, okay? And so I'm taking this test, and I think I did okay. But, you know, it's one of those where you don't really know until it comes back to you and the score. So I had to get at least a 70 score to pass it. And something inside of me was saying, imagine if I get like a 69 or something. That's ridiculous, right? So I think God was talking to me. And so I finally get the letter with the scores in it. And what do you think it says? 69. I failed the test by 1 point. Okay. So now I lose my job, my income. I just bought a car or leased a new car. And so I'm like, man, what am I going to do? Because the turnaround is not, you know, I have to take another test. It's a couple months away. And he said he couldn't gamble on that anymore. He's like, no, sorry. I have to look for somebody else next year. So I was, you know, didn't know what to do. And every morning I was reading my Bible. Can you read your Bible and not be close to Christ? The devil knows the Bible more than we do. Okay. So I was reading my Bible every day, but apparently I was not eating my daily bread. I was not living what I was reading. Okay. I was just covering my bases every morning. Okay, I read this chapter, I read this chapter, and I read this chapter. Okay? And finally, when I felt like I was losing everything, my wife-to-be breaks up with me. And she was like, eh. Nah, she didn't say that specifically, but she was kind of like, you know what, it's not going to work out. I'm going back to my home. Okay? She was from California, not from Texas. And I was like, okay, I guess she's leaving. Bye. So I had nothing. Losing my cars, losing all those things. And finally, I just, again, you know, I knew that God talked to me before. So now I got on my knees again, okay, people? If something is bad in your life, even if it's good, get on your knees and pray, okay? If someone's talking bad about you, get on your knees and pray for that person, okay? That's what you do. So I got on my knees. I had nothing left to lose. And I was like, Lord, just talk to me. I don't know what to do. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? Where you feel like you have nothing left. And of course, our last ditch effort is to go to God. Should be the first thing, right? Seek first. So here I'm on my knees and I'm praying, Lord, whatever you want me to do, there it is again, I will do it. I will go do that. Not joking. Maybe 30 seconds later, maybe a minute within there. Phone call, bring. It's one of my really good friends. Hey, what are you doing, man? I just lost everything. Oh, okay. Well, I was calling you to see if you want to come work with me. And I was like, okay, what do you got going on? He's like, well, I'm teaching at Lodi Academy. Some of you know Lodi, right? Yeah. I'm teaching at Lodi Academy. And I wonder if you want to come out and work with me. I work with high school, and I love high school age. So I was like, yes. What do I do? He's like, well, I'll talk to my principal, and he's going to contact you. I said, okay. And we hung up, and I was like, okay, Lord, you're going to have to take care of the rest. I have a car payment now that I can't pay because I was going to be a task force worker, which means a volunteer. And but they'll give me a stipend of like $300 a month, and I'll live on campus. So they said, you know, the principal calls. Like, he's like, okay. You can live on campus for free. Okay, there's my house. I'll give you $300 a month for what you need. Okay, great, food, whatever. And then we'll even buy your ticket to come home for Christmas and come back. Praise God. Yes? All right, good. So all these things are happening. Okay, in my car. My mom calls me. What's going on, mijo? Well, I think I'm going to go to California. You are? What happened? So I tell this story. You know, my mom's amazing. And she's like, okay, well, I can use your car, and I'll make the payments. You can go. I was like, all right. All the doors are just being flung open, so I just walked right through them. And so God is amazing, right? But you have to seek him. He will take care of your needs. You don't need to worry about tomorrow. You don't need to worry about tomorrow. You should be a louder amen about that. You don't need to worry. When you are in Christ, you don't need to worry about tomorrow. Okay? But you have to be in Christ. So, I go back to I moved to California. I've been here a couple times. And I moved to Lodi, and it's a funny experience. Lodi Academy, you know what? It's one of my best years in my life, I think. I had so much fun that year. And I still keep in touch with some of those students. They're doctors, and they're all kinds of people. You know, it's great. I love to talk to them. And you know, hear them. I do social media, and we, you know, talk to each other, and it's fun. Okay, a great experience. And so, you know, I had another dilemma, though. The person I was in love with didn't seem to be in love with me anymore. But I couldn't get her off my mind. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to go work. You know, I'm just going to go work. I'm going to eat my feelings. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to go work, and I'm going to try to forget about this and maybe move on, and the Lord will provide somebody else. And so I'm getting busy at work, and my sister says, I'm going to get married. And I was like, whoop-a-doo, you know, whatever. And so, you know, kind of jealous. And so I fly out to Vegas, actually. Got married in Vegas. I don't want to tell you about that story. But anyway, we went out to Vegas to support my sister. And, of course, all the love songs and everything. You're like, ah, I hate my life right now. Okay. And so, but I'm happy for my sister, but I hate my life. So, going through all that, I was thinking, man, I was so miserable. And my roommate, at the time in Lodi, he was actually the band teacher there, music teacher. He had some friends coming in once in a while, and he would introduce me to them. And these friends, one time, one of the friends brought his girlfriend. And his girlfriend was just kind of looking at me. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm not about to, you know, your boyfriend's here and everything. I don't want anything with him. So dumb. And she was just looking at me like, I think I know who you are, you know, kind of thing. And I was like, she asked me, what's your name? I said, I'm Chris. Chris what? Chris Perez. Oh. I said, where'd you go to school? Did you go to Southwestern? She's like, yeah, I went to Southwestern. Oh, okay. I was like, this is a weird conversation. I never met you, you know. And so she's asking me all these questions, and she's like, did you ever date a Stephanie Whitfield? And I was like, yes. I'm like, what is this nonsense? And she's like, okay, see you later. And then she just left. And I was like, what? That was weird, you know. So come to find out, I'll go back to that later. So anyway, I'm praying. I come back from Vegas. And I go into my room, and I'm so down and depressed. And I finally just say, Lord, just take it from me. I'm done. I'm done. I don't want this anymore. I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to feel horrible. How many of you felt that heartbreak before? Heartache, yeah? I said, I don't want to feel this anymore. I'm done. So, not even a minute later, phone rings. Ring, ring. Jesus calling. And it's one of my really close friends from Southwestern. He calls me and he says, hey, man, what's going on? I was like, what's up? He said, you won't believe who just called me. I was like, who? Well, Stephanie called me. I was like, really? And what I had told myself, I knew that she was close by in Modesto, California. I don't know if you know where Modesto is. And I told myself, if this is going to happen, it has to be through the Lord. I can't force this. I'm not going to go stalk her or anything. You know, I'm like, you know what? This is the Lord's doing. If it's going to happen, it's going to be the Lord that's going to do it. But I had to let it go. And when I let it go, the instant I let it go, the Lord's like, okay, now you're ready. Okay? Does that sound familiar in your life? Okay? And so the phone call, my friend's telling me, he's like, well, I didn't want to give her your phone number. I just wanted to ask you permission first to do so. And if you're good with it, then I'll do that. I said, yes, give her the phone number. And so she calls, we talk, We meet again. She comes to visit me at Lodi. She didn't know I was there, but until that girl, I didn't know this, that girl that came to visit my roommate, they were working together at the preschool in Modesto. Isn't that crazy? Doesn't that blow your mind how God works? And so she goes back and tells Stephanie, I met your ex-boyfriend, which I had told her before, I'm not moving to California. So she was like, what? He's not here. You're crazy, you know? And she's like, no, he's here. He's in Lodi and 40 minutes away. And so the Lord had his plans. And so my wife's back there, Stephanie Whitfield Perez. Say hi, honey. Pretty lady there, yes. Okay. And so the love of my life, the Lord set me up good. I'm married up. Okay, so I feel good about that. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. So, and now, you know, I'm going to fast forward to now I'm here. Okay. Some of you know, may not know, but I interviewed from Costa Rica. I was on a mission trip. And you guys know Pastor Smith Castillo, that buddy of mine. We worked together actually in the school he is in now. That's where we met. I was teaching high school in Houston, Texas at the Oaks Christian Academy. And he used to be a youth pastor for a Spanish church there, a big Spanish church. We had a lot of kids, students from that church. And so he would coach our basketball team. We talked to each other. And we're always on the same wavelength, man. We got to do this. We got to do this, right? So now he's like, hey, man, I'm thinking about going to, you know, to California out here. My friend Josh is calling me. And I might be a principal. I was like, go for it, man. And I've started praying for this school since then. And so then he calls me 2 years later, and he's like, hey, man, I'm going to put your name in the hat for principal. It's time. And I was like, no, I don't want to be principal. That's craziness. And I always tell people, you got to be a glutton for punishment to be a principal. I said, no, I don't want to do that. I love what I'm doing right now. Well, don't love, but I like where I am. Thousand Oaks. And so he calls me, says, all right, fine. But he keeps calling me. And I know now that I have to listen when I get a call. Okay? So I had made a mistake of not accepting another principal position before at the Oaks. And the Lord was telling me, you should have listened to me. And I said, all right, Lord, if I get another opportunity to be a principal, I'm just going to say yes. So guess what? So then Smith calls me and says, I'll put your name in the hat. I said, fine, do it. I'm going to be in Costa Rica, though, because he wanted to call me. He's like, the board meeting is this and this. And I said, well, I don't know if I'll be available. I don't even know if I have Wi-Fi. He's like, don't worry. He's like, you know, we'll get there. So I'm at the ministry with my eighth grade class. We went to Costa Rica. And at night, we'd come to the spot to talk to our families for Wi-Fi, you know, in this area. So we're, you know, listening. And so, but the night he told me they were going to meet for personnel committee, he said, well, it's going to be at this time. Excuse me. And I said, well, I can't do that. We have a plan already to go somewhere else, you know, with another church. And he's like, well, okay, well, we'll try to do it. And I missed the time. You know, we were gone doing whatever. And God worked that too. I won't go into details because we've been here for a while. But I just want you to know, when you put the Lord first, you see him all the time. All the time. Okay? And so I finally came back late. And out of courtesy, my friend, so I said, hey, man, I'm sorry I missed it. You know, we were gone, like I said, and, you know, finally got some Wi-Fi. He's like, I'm going to call you in 5 minutes. Be ready. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, 5 minutes. Okay. And I was like, all right, but, you know, I'm out here. He's like, yeah, just pray and be yourself. I was like, oh, that's easy. I can do that. So I prayed, and I answered people's questions. And I said, whatever, Lord, this is all you. Okay. If you want this to happen, you're going to open the doors, and I'll walk through them. Okay. But you have to show me. Okay. You have to show me. You can open these doors for me. And so now I'm here. Okay? I'm only here because the Lord has asked me to come. And I'm excited for this year because our staff is a really good staff. We have really good teachers. Okay? I have a great administrative assistant. There's the word. Okay? Administrative assistant. I have a great mentor, like Miss Jamie. Okay? And I hear that I have great churches. Okay? I got one amen. Okay, I hear there's great churches around here. So, thank you. That's another one. Okay, so you know what? I'm here to do the Lord's work. And that's it. And I'm not, you know, I'm not saying I'm going to be perfect. Definitely a learning curve. But I'm only here because the Lord asked me to be here. And that's how I want to live my life. How many of you want to live your life like that? How many of you want to follow the Lord? Okay. There's who knows a story about the lady that was not well for, was it 12 years? Okay. You know that story? And she wanted a connection with Christ so badly. Go to Luke. Go back to Luke really quick because, you know, we got to touch the Bible. I can't just keep talking up here. Luke chapter 8, Luke 8:43. Say amen when you're there, please. Here's some pages turning. I like that sound. Okay, I'm going to start. Ready? And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Okay, so there's a lot to go into here. I can't go into all of it. But she was not supposed to be there. She was not supposed to do that. But she searched for the Lord. She didn't care anymore. After a while, you just get tired. Okay? How many of you have, you felt like you had unanswered prayers? Have you ever felt that before? Sometimes they're better that they're unanswered, but, you know, this lady's been waiting for 12 years. And she did anything it took. When Jesus came to town, she went to see him. She snuck in through the crowd. She fought through all those people. And all she said in her mind that she needed to do was touch the hem of his garment, and she would be healed. How much faith is that? Do you have that much faith? Do you have that much faith in your life? You have been tested, I know, because I live the same life that you do. But if you're waiting for God to answer you, go search for him. He's here. We prayed for the Holy Spirit here, right? He's listening to you. I'm here to tell you that. Whoever needs to hear that, there you go. Okay? So go search for Jesus Christ. You search for him. Do not stop. Don't let anybody stop you. All he needs is a little bit of faith. And actually, the original translation says she was made whole. Okay? That's a big difference, just being healed, right? So spiritually whole. Brand new woman. If you want to be made whole, seek his kingdom first. He will take care of everything else. Okay? If you have some bills that you're stuck with, if you're in debt, if you don't know how you're going to get your kid through Valley View, if you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, if you don't know what's going to happen with your marriage, if you don't know what's going to happen with your children, get on your knees. Go to Jesus first. Don't let anybody stop you. I'm here today because of my connection to Jesus Christ, and only because of my connection with Jesus Christ. Praise God for Jesus Christ. He's merciful and loving. Let's have prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to speak about how good you've been in my life. I thank you for these people that are here. They got up today like I did. Some of them had to rush over here because their kids were complaining. They didn't want to get out of bed or change and all that stuff. Some of them are just tired, Lord. Some of them are wondering, should I go to church today? But I'm glad that they're here. You brought them here for a reason. They got here safely. They sat through this whole thing. And Lord, I just ask that it's all for your honor and glory. If somebody here is hurting, Lord, and needs to be made whole, help them to know that you are willing, that they just have to look for you, that they have to search for you, that you're not far, Lord. You're waiting with your arms wide open, and you love them. Lord, I ask for the school, Valley View, and the Children's Center, too. I pray for this year to be an amazing year. that the young people get to see you on a daily basis, how their relationship with you gets stronger and stronger. Please be with our staff. Please be with the parents, the families, community families. We want to be a beacon of light, a beacon of hope with your name all over it, because your name is what saves. Thank you, Lord, for the honor of being an educator. And Lord, for allowing us to be your children. Thank you for the life that you've given me, Lord. It's so good. I don't deserve it, but you're so amazing. You're so wonderful. You're so merciful. And I thank you for all the opportunities that you've given me. And I know people sitting here also have many opportunities and many blessings. Help us today, Lord, to continue to worship you through your Sabbath day of rest. Help us to stay close to our families, to our loved ones, and to reach out to people who need you. Help us not to just sit in the pews and forget everything when we get out of here. Help us to always have you on our minds and know that we can make a difference in somebody else's. We love you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you guys.